Take your Bibles, Romans chapter number 12, and I'm excited to continue in our series this morning, Overcomer, 8 Ways to Live a Life of Unstoppable Strength, Unmovable Faith, and Unbelievable Power. And we talked about the need for standing. We talked about the need to gird our loins with truth. And this morning we're going to talk about overcoming evil with good. It was shocking news in 2017 when we learned of a medical doctor and athletic trainer at Michigan State University that was charged with sexually assaulting 150 female athletes, mostly gymnasts. And after lengthy court appearances and trials, the doctor was found guilty and sentenced up to 175 years in prison. The court proceedings were extended for days as the victims read their impact statements of what had happened to them. The words of these young female athletes were heart-wrenching. Anger and resentment flowed as freely as the tears, and the women spoke about what happened to them, and the growing awareness of the evil of this doctor and what he had accomplished was purveying around the courtroom, and it was indescribable, really, the feeling of the room. And the last of the impact statements that was to be read was read on January the 24th of 2018 by a young gymnast named Rachel Den Hollander. Now, she was the first of the athletes to come forward and accuse the team physician of sexual assault. And it seemed fitting that she would have the final word in the courtroom. From a portion of her 6,000-word statement spoken directly to Larry Nassar, here is how Rachel determined to turn this terrible evil into something good. And here's what she said. Throughout this process, I've clung to a quote by C.S. Lewis where he says, "My argument against God was that the universe seemed so cruel and unjust. But how did I get this idea of just and unjust? A man does not call a line crooked unless he has first seen a straight one. What I was comparing the universe to when I called it unjust." "Larry," she said, "I can call what you did evil and wicked because it was. And I know it was evil and wicked because the straight line exists. The straight line is not measured based on your perception of anyone else's perception without minimization or mitigation. And I can call evil what it is because I know what goodness is. And this is why I pity you. Because when a person loses the ability to define good and evil, when they cannot define evil, then they can no longer define and enjoy what is truly good." Now, what poison grace, certainly, in that moment in her life. But Rachel is a great illustration, a demonstration of what it means to overcome evil with good. Indeed, Rachel Den Hollander is an overcomer. Now, let's think about our series this morning and this thought of overcoming evil with good. What enables someone to overcome evil with good in this way, as she did, or as we should in our lives? How do we keep in our hearts and lives from succumbing to the anger, the bitterness, the grief, and the desire for revenge? How do we keep our hearts from storing all the residue of evil that has ever been done to us or that we've ever heard of in our own life? And Paul gives instruction to the believers about what it is that they need in order to overcome. We talked about standing. We talked about girding the loins with truth. But notice in Ephesians 6:14 in your notes, the last phrase, "and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Paul says to the believers at Ephesus, you're going to be an overcomer. You've got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the breastplate of righteousness was the portion of armor that covered the torso. It was responsible for protecting all of the vital organs of the soldier in combat, and particularly his heart. And the Bible says to you and I in Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And God wants you and I to have and to wear this breastplate of righteousness so that we might be protected, certainly when it comes to the heart. Now, righteousness is a biblical word. Webster defines righteousness as acting in accordance with divine or moral law, being free from guilt or sin, and being morally right or justifiable as in a righteous decision. And God wants you and I to live with this covering of righteousness that we might overcome the evil that is in the world. So how do we overcome evil with good? Well, number one in our study this morning, it begins with overcoming the evil that is within us. So how do we overcome the evil within us? And usually when we think about evil, we think about the evil that is around us, do we not? There's a lot of bad people out there. There's a lot of bad things happening. You turn on the news, you hear this, you hear that, and it's all out there, right? But the truth of the matter is that the line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being. And the reality is we all have evil in our own hearts. And if we're going to come overcome evil with good, it's got to start with numero uno. It's got to start with the person we're staring in the mirror in the morning. Every one of us must overcome the evil within us. Now, Jesus describes this evil in Mark chapter 7 and verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things, the Bible says, come from within and defile the man. So everything that has been listed, God says, that is what is in your heart. And you know what the sad news is this morning? That's not even a complete list. God could go on and on in the pages of Scripture and talk about the stuff that is right in here that should not be there. There is evil indeed within, but God will give us a way to overcome that evil inside of us. And we understand this applies to every single person in the world. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, and look at it. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. It means nobody is perfect. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Let's be very careful this morning in thinking, oh, Brother Rule, you're exactly right. There's a lot of evil people out there, and we need to do something about them. Friend, there's evil in every one of our hearts this morning. The Bible is clear. There's none righteous. There's no perfect person who's ever walked the planet other than the God-man, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 3:12 that none doeth good, no, not one. And one of the most dangerous thoughts that you and I can have, even as a Christian, is the thought of, well, I would never do that. I hear about this person and I see this and I hear this being done and I would never do that kind of evil. Friend, it's only by God's grace that that's not us. It's very naive to think that this would never be me. Every one of us have that potential in our heart and in our future. In fact, look what the Bible says in Jeremiah 17, 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So if this is the kind of evil that is in every one of us, then how do we overcome that? Well, we overcome it, letter A, through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's the overcomer's righteousness. So the bad news is that we all have evil inside of us. The good news is that Jesus Christ in His holiness and His mercy has overcome that evil through His death, burial, and resurrection, His defeat over sin and death. And if we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we can partake in His righteousness. So how do we overcome the evil within us? Through the righteousness that we find in Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus Christ defeated the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Jesus has defeated them. Notice in Colossians 2:15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Jesus Christ is victorious over all of that. Evil no longer has power over the one who is clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ has defeated evil, has defeated sin, death, and the grave. And when you and I accept Jesus Christ, we no longer have to live defeated to evil. We can live in victory. We can be an overcomer through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of my favorite verses in all of the Bible, 2 Corinthians 5:21. The Bible says, "For He hath made Him," who is that? Jesus Christ, "to be sin for us who knew no sin." He was perfect. "That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Friend, when you and I accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are made the righteousness righteousness of God in him. There's evil in us, but when Jesus is in us, Jesus wins. Jesus is greater. He's the victor, and we can overcome that evil through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Jesus paid our sin debt. And when we place our faith and trust in him, he not only forgives us of our sin, but he gives us his righteousness, and we are seen as him in the eyes of the Lord. So how do we overcome the evil in our heart? By placing our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and he does the rest. He takes care of it, and we win because he wins. And that's how we overcome the evil within. And I just encourage everyone in the room this morning, if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if there's never been a time in your life where you've placed your faith and trust in him and received him as your Savior and asked him to forgive and to pay for your sins, I want to encourage you to make that decision even today. Why? Because that is how you are an overcomer on the evil within. It is through the victory and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's talk secondly this morning about how do we overcome the evil around us. There's a lot of evil out there today. We hear about it all the time. How do we overcome it? When Chris Carrier was 10 years old, a stranger approached him. The man professed to be a friend of his father and that he needed his help in picking out a gift for his dad. So Chris climbed into the man's motorhome. A short time later, the man pulled the vehicle into a field and stabbed Chris in the back of the neck. He then drove the vehicle out into the wilderness and on a dirt road, and he took the boy and he shot him in the left temple in the head and then dumped him by the side of the road in the alligator-infested Florida Everglades. For 6 days, 10-year-old Chris lay there in and out of consciousness until he was found by a passing motorist. Miraculously, he survived his injuries, but he lost his ability to see out of his left eye. The police were never able to identify or to find his attacker. Now, Chris lived in fear for the next 3 years until at a church event, he heard the gospel and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. He grew in his faith, and he decided to use his life telling people about Jesus and his forgiveness. Many years later, now Chris was married and had a family of his own, a detective contacted him and saying that an elderly man had come forward and had confessed to the brutal crime. The man had a grudge against Chris's father back then and wanted to take out his anger on Chris to get back at his dad. Chris visited the 77-year-old man who was now broken and weak in a nursing home. At first, the man denied knowing anything about it, but eventually the man confessed and apologized to Chris. Chris explained how he had become a Christian and how God had used that terrible event in his life to share the power of God's forgiveness wherever he went. Chris's family began visiting this man almost daily, sharing the love of God. And one Sunday afternoon, Chris's attacker received both God's and Chris's forgiveness and placed his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. A few days later, he died peacefully in his sleep. Now that is a powerful example of a man who took evil and overcame it with good. And God commands you and I to overcome evil with good. How in the world do we do that? Great question. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse number 17. And from this passage, we're going to launch in. The Bible says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him, and if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And here in Romans 12, we find 6 ways to overcome evil with good. How do we deal with evil around us? Here's how we do it. Letter A, leave vengeance to God. He says in this passage, recompense no man evil for evil. Avenge not yourselves, for it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Now, our tendency is we want to get even, right? If somebody does something to us, we want to do something right back to them. We want them to feel the pain and the hurt that we feel. We want the scales balanced in life. You do something to me, you've got something coming. Nick Stafford of Cedar Bluff, Virginia, was so upset at his county DMV office because they would never give him the number of the local office. He always had to call the 800 number and go through all kinds of people and machines and transfers and being on hold and so on to finally get to talk to somebody, and he was just fed up with it. So he got the tax bill for two cars he had recently purchased, and he decided he was going to get even. The day the bill was due, Nick brought into the office in five loaded wheelbarrows 300,000 pennies to cover the bill that was due. When asked about it, he said this: if they're going to inconvenience me, then I'm going to inconvenience them. Now, when I read this story, I learned that it cost this guy $1,000 in order to do this. It took $1,000 to get the 300,000 pennies, to get them loaded, to get them transferred, to get them there. The guy spent $1,000 extra to inconvenience the DMV because he indeed had been inconvenienced. But is that not how we all behave sometimes? If somebody does something to me, watch out, I'm going to get you. But when you and I attempt to take vengeance on, we are usurping the role of God. The Bible says in Leviticus 19:18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. And so we have to have patience, and we have to let God's work go forward according to his plan. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on earth and could have retaliated, did not. He left that to the Father. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:23, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And we want to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we overcome the evil that is around us? Leave vengeance alone. That's not our responsibility. That's in God's court. Secondly, letter B, learn to plan ahead. Now, after making it clear what we should not do, Paul goes on in our passage to tell us what we should do. Romans 12:17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Don't make vengeance. But provide things honest in the sight of all men. Now the Greek word translated provide in our passage this morning means to plan ahead. In other words, Paul is saying when you see that something is coming into your life that you don't like, make plans to do what is right. You know you're going to be tempted. You know you're going to struggle to want to get back, to want to get even, to want to settle the score. But just predetermine, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do the right thing. Paul expounds on this thought when he's writing the believers at Thessalonica. Notice in 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. So when it comes to handling evil that comes into our life, most of us are reactive. Something happens bad to me, I'm frustrated, I'm hurt, I'm angry, I'm discouraged, and now I'm going to get back at somebody else. But Paul is saying, don't be reactive, be proactive. Plan ahead. Determine in advance that you are going to do good when bad happens to you. Listen to me very carefully this morning. No person, event, or thing can make you and I angry, upset, or frustrated. We are responsible for the reactions to difficult people and difficult situations in our life. Every one of us has to take responsibility for us, okay? So when you're going through life and somebody cuts you off and somebody does this and somebody lies and somebody deceives and somebody connives and somebody threatens and somebody makes you look bad and whatever, 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 Paul is saying, hey, there's trouble in the world. It's going to happen. Don't be reactive. Predetermined, you're going to respond with good. Plan ahead. And don't let people who are ornery or upset or angry or situations that don't go the way you want them to go lead you down a path of being upset and angry and frustrated all the time. Live above that. Be proactive and determine ahead of time you are going to render good. Paul says, do not recompense evil for evil, but things that are honest in the sight of all men. Do good. Despite what is happening around you, is what Paul is saying. Thirdly, what do we do? Letter C. Lean into the next right thing. Lean into the next right thing. Now, whether or not we plan for them, we're all going to face trials and troubles, bad things happening in life. That's part of it. And when those things happen, we have to decide how are we going to respond. Now, this morning, we must understand that for a Christian, no response is not an option. Okay? Things are going to happen around us, and we need to respond, but we know we're not to seek vengeance. So what is it that we're supposed to do? And Paul is saying here, respond by doing the next right thing. An overcomer, someone who's living in victory with the armor of the Lord in Ephesians 6, is someone who is putting their faith and trust in Christ. And when in doubt, they're asking Him for help. And through the power of the Spirit of God, even when bad is swirling around them, they are continuing to do good. You and I are not responsible for the results. We don't know the timing of it all. But God is challenging us in His Word that if we're going to overcome evil with good, it is going to happen simply because we have determined as a Christian, we are going to do good even when a lot of bad is happening around us. The famous Lewis and Clark expedition to map the Pacific Northwest was actually rescued in 1805 when an act of goodness overcame evil. Now, Ken Burn tells a story in his documentary on the Lewis and Clark expedition. The expedition had spent a starved and freezing winter in Idaho's Bitterroot Mountains. They stumbled out of those mountains and into the camp of the Nez Perce, a Native American tribe, hoping to find some food and warmth and some help. But some of the Nez Perce wanted to kill the expedition members and then take all their rifles, their ammunition, their tools, and all the hardware. But there was an aged and dying woman in the camp who saved them from annihilation. Now listen to this. As a young girl, this woman had been captured by another Native American tribe and then sold yet to another tribe back east. She escaped from that tribe and ended up in the care of some Canadians who sustained her until she had the health and strength to get back to her own Nez Perce people. Now, for years, she had been telling her tribe about the light-skinned people who lived toward the rising of the sun and took care of her. So, when the light-skinned members of the Lewis and Clark expedition arrived in their camp, she intervened and she said, "These are the people who helped me. Do them no hurt." Now, in this case, the act of good was separated from the evil that it overcame by decades. The people in Canada who cared for this young Native American girl had no idea that their act of goodness would turn away evil intent of her tribe members years later in the future. They didn't project or know what was going to happen. They just did the next right thing. And that's what Paul is saying. Hey, bad's going to happen around you. That's life. There's nothing you can do about it, but do good. And even when you do good, you may not see the result of it. You might be kind to that coworker who's always a jerk, and they might still be a jerk. And it may take a while for it to come to fruition. But there's going to come a time in that person's life where they're flat on their back and there's no place else to look, and they're going to remember that man or that woman has always been kind. They've always done good. They've always been there. I need to go talk to them. So Paul is saying, do good no matter what. The Lord will work it out, and in time, it will indeed have an impact. How else can we overcome the evil around us? Letter D, by living peaceably with all men. If it be possible, verse 18, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Does that not seem almost impossible today? I mean, everywhere we look, there are people at odds and at conflict. Reminds me of the neighbors in San Antonio, Rick and Tony. They and their families were close friends. They would go on vacations together. They would celebrate holidays together. Things were great until the winter of 2012. Rick posted some recipes of juicing online. Tony's family tried the recipes. They didn't work. They took online and they began to bash Rick. And then Rick's wife got online and bashed Tony's family and said they were all fat because they didn't eat right. And over the next several days and months, the police officers were called 140 times to these residences. A dispute over a backyard tree spurred Rick to build a monstrous 12-foot corrugated metal wall between the two houses. Well, Tony didn't like that, so he got cattle prods, and he would knock over Rick's trash cans in the middle of the night to cause noise and disturbance for him. And so Rick responded by painting pigs on the Tony side of the fence and then putting his family's names underneath these pigs. And so Tony then erected a 13-foot pole and put a security camera on it facing Rick's house and his backyard. And so Rick responded by getting surveillance equipment and aiming all over Tony's home and keeping track of what they were doing. And Tony then claimed that every time his family walked out of their house that Rick would make pig noises. In fact, he'd even taken a video of his wife and put it on YouTube and dubbed it with pig grunts in the background. An altercation finally ensued involving a trash can. It led to a conviction, a fine, and community service. But that wasn't enough because Rick's family because Tony's wife had said Rick's family was being perverted, so she made a sign and put it up in her front yard like a billboard all about Rick and his perversion. The police officers came to remove the sign, but every time they left, she kept putting it back up. Finally, it led to both families filing lawsuits and were told to quit it till the suit settled. Now, we see stuff like this far too often. In fact, it seems in our culture and society today that if somebody has a differing opinion, the only way to settle it is through aggression and anger and hate. There's an accelerating trend towards this kind of conflict. Political rivalry has turned into political animosity. Even in our schools, where once this was never tolerated, speech of hate is all over the place. And on it goes into neighborhoods and the workplaces all over the country. So what does the Bible say on this? Well, notice in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. In Hebrews, follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Listen, we're being challenged in God's word. When you and I respond to one evil act with another evil act, it's just going to escalate the situation, i.e. Rick and Tony. We went over not liking somebody's juicing recipe to a 13-foot metal wall between the houses. Crazy. But is that not what happens when evil inserts into a situation and we respond with the same venom and poison? It blows out of control. And what is God saying? Live peaceably with all men. Every one of us are going to face something in life we don't like. And you know what? We have a choice. We have a bucket of water and we have a bucket of gasoline in our hands. And every time something happens in our life that we don't like or that rubs us the wrong way or that hurts our feelings, we can either pour water on it and put it out and be done with it, or we can pour gasoline on it and you think it was big now. Man, watch what I'm going to do. And here it goes. And we live in a culture and a society where we pour a lot of gasoline. I mean, we like brag about how we make stuff bigger and more difficult and make it last longer. And don't let anyone ever forget about it, because I'm not done stewing about it. Paul says, you know what Christians do? They live peaceably with all men. They don't render evil for evil. They don't pour gasoline on every little thing that ever happens to them that doesn't go well. They just live peaceably. They're just kind. They've learned to handle life, not because it's easy, but because God inside of them directs them. And there's something different about them. You can see it in the way they live. It's not that they're omitted from any of the troubles or problems you and I are facing. They just handle them differently. They've just determined in their life, I'm going to be a peacemaker. At work, I'm going to be a peacemaker. At home, I'm going to be a peacemaker. In our neighborhood, I'm going to be a peacemaker. I want to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ in making peace. How else can we overcome evil with good? Letter E, let good overcome evil. A brash, hardened young defendant appeared before Judge Albert Tomey in the New York State Supreme Court. Defendant had gunned down another person and had killed him execution style. After a two-week trial resulting in a guilty verdict, the victim's mother and grandmother spoke during the sentencing phase. Both women forgave the defendant, but the grandmother offered to write him if he would write back, and she confessed that she tried to hate him, but she was unsuccessful in doing so, and so she spoke of compassion and forgiveness. And throughout the trial, the defendant had maintained a very angry demeanor toward the judge and the jury, but as the grandmother spoke, the body language began to change of the defendant, and the judge wrote in his memoir, he said, for the first time since the trial began, the defendant's eyes lost their laser focus and appeared to surrender to a life force that only a mother can generate, nurturing, unconditional love. After the grandmother finished, I looked at the defendant, and his head was hanging low. There was no more swagger, no more stare. The destructive and evil forces within him collapsed helplessly before this remarkable display of forgiveness and love. Friend, good always overcomes evil. And they did exactly what Paul said to do, that if someone hungers, feed them. If they thirst, give him drink. In doing this, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. When someone is striking out to hurt you, or providing an evil act or an accusation, God says, I don't want you to curse them. I don't want you to rehearse it. I don't want you to keep nursing it over and over. I want you to reverse it. I want you to respond to that evil with good. Jesus talked about this in Matthew 5. Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for the tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If he sue thee for the cloak, give him thy cloak as well. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Counselor J. Adams said it this way, evil is powerful, but God is more powerful. In fact, evil is so powerful that only good has the power to overcome evil. Darkness is always driven away by light. And Paul is saying, how do you overcome the evil around us? By doing good. Good overcomes evil. Lastly, we're out of time. Letter F, by loving your enemy. He says, for in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now the phrase, heap coals of fire on his head, referred to an ancient Egyptian custom. When a person wanted to demonstrate their public remorse for something they had done wrong, they would literally carry on their head a pan of burning coals to represent the burning pain of their shame and their guilt. The point was, when we love our enemies and generally seek to do good to them, we shame them for their hatred. There's nothing to be mad at anymore. They have been responded to by good. I don't have time to read all the scripture. You know the story of David and King Saul. David's anointed by God. He's going to be Saul's successor. Saul's hate him, and Saul's hunting to kill him. Saul is trying to find David and do him harm, and Saul's inside a cave. Well, he doesn't know that David's inside the same cave. And late at night, David gets in close enough proximity to Paul to literally, Saul, rather literally, to cut off the corner of his robe. And the next morning, David says to King Saul, King Saul, I was standing next to you last night. I was so close to you, I cut off a piece of your robe. I could have killed you, but I didn't. Now, what was David doing to the man who hated him, who was hunting him and trying to kill him? David gave him good for evil. What did it do to Saul? You read the passage in 1 Samuel there. Saul says, David, you have been a better man than I. And he repents of his sin, and Saul doesn't get it all right. But David had heaped coals on Saul's head, and that's exactly how you and I should behave according to the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is this lesson teaching us? Overcome evil with good. That's the Christian way. It's unique in this world, but God will bless it. And may you and I not be weary in well-doing. Hey, there's evil within us. Jesus Christ is the answer. There's evil all around us. But Romans 12 gives us the instruction, how do we overcome it? And let's learn this week to overcome evil with good. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for some time together in your word this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to take these truths and to live them in our homes and workplaces and neighborhoods this week. May we determine we're going to be peacemakers. We're going to overcome evil with good. We're going to be light and salt in this world. And I pray that our class would be a room full of overcomers. Bless now the remainder of this day and week. Bring us back safely next Sunday, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.